This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side he wants. And a comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
And Buffalo didn't get a chance to respond. That was the final call on Chiefs Radio. Kansas City wins an all-time classic. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen just back and forth. Ali Frazier, that's what that was on a football field. Sean and RJ here on The Fan. 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fantex. 877-881-1053. The last 2 minutes of regulation saw three different lead changes. You had Kansas City getting into range to tie with 13 seconds left. Some of the worst defensive back play in the clutch. Maybe the worst defensive back play in the clutch that we've had over an extended period of time. These two combined for 700 yards passing, 137 yards rushing, and 7 touchdowns. 25 points scored in a minute 54 seconds.
That good?
Fourth down conversions, third down conversions. Gabriel Davis becoming the only receiver in playoff history to have 4 touchdowns. It was insanity, and they just kept topping each other. You thought game over, done. Like, when did you think it was game over? When's the first time you thought done, over?
With the Chiefs Bills game, when Josh Allen threw that final touchdown.
Like, before the 13 seconds?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. You know, because it was, they were getting down. They were getting down there, you know, inside that 20, 25 yard line.
Because here's the sequence. Gabriel Davis's third touchdown on 4th and 13 with a minute 54 left. He freaked that corner. You're like, how is he so wide open? Well, he ran a route that, you know, put the corner on the ground. Then Diggs had the 2-point. And I wrote, that's the drive of Josh Allen's life. Because he had a 4th down run on that drive. And then they had that disaster screen pass. They mm-hmm. it was 3rd and 7. They lost 6. Made it 4th and 13. So that's Gabriel. That there it is. A minute 54 left. Gabriel Davis with this 3rd touchdown. Then Tyreek just turned on the speed crazy with the 64-yard score. So it's 33-29, Chiefs with 102 left. I thought it was over then. And then you had Davis with his 4th one, 36-33, 13 seconds left.
Yeah, there was two. The way this game was going and how good these guys are, you know, there was too much time left when there was a minute to go, you know, after the tie right there. It's like, man, you still got a minute. That's a lot of time. And this guy, and now they needed a touchdown, right? It was only a 4-point game, but dude, when he hit him with 13 seconds left, I was like, "This thing is over."
There's no way.
No way.
I thought to myself the same thing. I'm like, "Wow, Josh Allen is about to
he's about to be a god. He's going to be a god in Buffalo. Yep. And at the same time, I don't need to worry about seeing any videos of Jackson Mahomes doing the gritty or anything like that and celebrating this win or Patrick or Pat Mahomes' fiance, you know, Brittany Matthews. Yeah, that's an actual clip of her. I won't have to hear her screaming or yelling. And then it all changed. It all changed.
Yeah, I found myself rooting for the Bills and Josh Allen because that was it. I mean, what they did was really true greatness, and that's why a lot of people are upset. I should have put out a poll question, but I'm sure there's one out there that the Bills didn't get a chance in overtime offensively. They got a chance to stop the Chiefs. It obviously did not happen. Did Buffalo get robbed here?
I mean, anybody who loses a game without touching the football gets robbed. That's just robbery. And if you're going to say...
Well, someone will say they touched it during regulation.
I know. So did the other team. And they didn't have a chance. They didn't win it either. And then you say, well, you know, just stop them. You know, your defense, just stop them. Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? How about you give your defense a chance to stop me, which you haven't done all game? You know, it's a two-way street here. Especially in an offensive league. In an offensive league, when there is basically no defense for defenses, it's not fair. I'm sorry, it's just not fair. There is. I don't believe the college way to go is the right way to go either. I just think both teams should. It's just like baseball. You get an equal amount of at bats. In overtime, you get the ball. I get it. You get it. I get it. And you know, and in soccer, like penalty kicks or hockey shootouts. No, if you get to a point where you have scored and then I don't, game over. You know, but both teams should be able to touch the ball an equal amount of time in overtime.
See, I thought you would side more with the college landscape of overtime.
I'd be okay with that, but I think it's too easy.
But where's the ball placed at?
To the 25?
Yeah, move it back. Move it back to 40, 50 maybe.
I would better the own 20. Yeah. My own 20. They can go 80 yards.
Should we just change the overtime rules for the postseason?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to spin it for player safety.
Fine.
And, you know, we don't want these guys, they're exhausted after four quarters and more susceptible to injury, and maybe change it for the postseason.
Legacies, jobs, money, whatever, should not be dictated on a coin toss. You know, I mean, it's a 50-50 flip. It should be predicated on that. I don't believe. You should not win or lose a game or have a better, like, there's a reason that as soon as Patrick Mahomes, you saw the win probability. The moment he had the coin toss, they went to like a 65% chance of winning that game. Immediately just by winning the coin toss. I mean, that's just not fair. It's just not fair.
What's the split on the Autoflex Easing Fan Text? Brad Sham coming in last night, tweeting to in response to me saying they had their chance. Get a stop.
Yeah. I'd agree with you, Brad, but then you and I'd both be wrong, and then I can't do that anymore. Let's see. They are saying that it's a finite part of the game. Don't do it. If KC lost about touching the ball, how likely is that rule changed or at least really talked about? Well, look, it happened a couple years ago. They lost to the Patriots when they didn't touch the ball. Same thing happened in the Super Bowl to Atlanta and the Patriots. The Patriots won the coin toss, and they scored a touchdown. Matt Ryan had statistically one of the five best Super Bowl performances ever. Didn't touch the ball in overtime. Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game didn't touch the ball in overtime. Josh Allen yesterday didn't touch the ball in overtime. I just have a problem with that.
Yeah, I think that you just say Kansas City scores, Buffalo should get a chance to match. So if they kick a field goal or they turn it over, then it's game over. If Buffalo scores 7, then Kansas City gets it back, and you just have to match each other, or the game ends.
Yeah, people say, you know, saying they should get a stop is like saying Josh Allen should have called heads. No, you always call tails. I think that's what it said. Tails comes up more. Yeah. The head is heavier, so tails actually comes up more than 50% of the time.
You're such a degenerate. You know the weight of a coin on one side?
Like on a quarter, like the head is heavier on a quarter. So if you're flipping a quarter, you always call tails.
What were some of the? You got anything else on that? I want to find out the ratings from Saturday.
Oh, I definitely want to find out the ratings. One thing I don't think we've discussed yet: what Andy Reid said to Patrick Mahomes after Josh Allen scored with 13 seconds left. They need to take it down the field. Andy, what did you tell your QB?
Yeah, when it's grim, be the grim reaper and go get it.
That's baller.
What did he say?
When it's grim, go be the grim reaper.
Be the grim reaper.
Oh, I got like chills it. On that one.
And then the Bengals kicker apparently told Burrow before the kick, yes, we're going to the AFC title game. And Burrow's like, dang, I thought I was cool.
Yeah.
That was real cool.
The quarterback is the culture, man. He has changed in Cincinnati.
All right, where are we with the with some of the ratings?
All right, I've got a couple of games for you here. Two games on Saturday. I just have the Saturday stuff. Have Saturday. Cincinnati and Tennessee.
Okay.
You want me to just give it to you?
No, you can just give it unless you want to guess.
Yeah, definitely not in the 20s. It's a teen number. I don't give me like a 16.5.
It was a 14.8. Okay. It peaked at a 17.7. That's pretty good. San Fran, Green Bay.
Oh, higher.
Definitely higher. Although maybe some Cowboy fans probably are like me and like, I don't know if I really want to watch this. So it's definitely in the 20s. Give me a 21.1.
I'll go with a 19.8.
Close. 18.6 peaked at a 23.1 at the very, very end of that one. So That's the games on Saturday. Oh, by the way, Kentucky, Auburn, college basketball, 1-3. We did a 2-3. That's, actually a pretty decent number. That was the only sports. That was the only sports on Saturday. There was a Stars replay, but that was it.
Of course, now everyone is going to be wondering about the futures of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers, of course, loses again in the postseason. But Tom Brady, was that his final game yesterday, period? Because Adam Schefter and some other reporters are saying he's been non-committal. But if he wins the Super Bowl, that would weigh more towards him retiring. He wanted to leave in that walk-off type moment. Because they got eliminated, theoretically, it should increase his chances of coming back. Here's Tom after the game.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so we'll just take it day by day and see kind of see where we're at. Truthfully, guys, I'm thinking about this game and not thinking about anything past 5 minutes from now.
I think Tom will come back. I think he'll come. Look, there are people who are amazed that Tom Brady even threw for the amount of yards he did yesterday, given the weapons that they were missing. Now, you still had Gronk and you still had Mike Evans, who torched Ramsey on that deep throw, but Tom got beaten up in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they were missing tackles. They were banged up.
Wirfs, was that right? Wirfs was gone.
Yeah. They were hurt, and they still were able to score 27. They had scored 30 or more in 5 straight playoff games. Tom threw for 330. The QBR, though, was a 14. I can't believe he only got sacked 3 times. He got hammered by Aaron Donald and everyone else. So I would guess Tom returns.
I'm going to guess he returns. I don't think he's going to go out like that. Although, I'll tell you, I mean, when they were down 27-3, how many people thought that this was the only he's still going to come back and win this one?
I didn't.
Not win.
I was rolling
but
my
make
eyes.
Make it a game.
I had tweeted when Cam Akers fumbled before the half. I was like, that Tampa got lucky. They dodged the kill shot. And people are like, Atlanta, 28-3. I'm like, okay, bet me on it. And I would have almost lost after they tied it at 27 apiece.
I mean, it was like it was a crazy comeback again, another one.
And then Rodgers.
Rodgers.
After doing nothing against San Francisco, are you going to leave the Packers?
I'm going to take some time and have conversations with the folks around here. And then take some time away and make a decision, obviously, before free agency or anything kind of gets going on that front. But it's fresh right now. It's a little shocking for sure.
So Rodgers going to think. I think at the end of the day, now, if you're Rodgers, you got to say to the GM, who apparently has had a better relationship with Aaron, getting his input, how are we going to deal with this cap situation? How are we going to keep this team? I'll stay if you keep this team, but they're $40 million over the cap, and they got to pay Devontae as well. So how are you going to do that? This may be more about how the Packers roster looks than Aaron's bitterness with the organization. That may be, because otherwise, just go back. I'm still going to bet that Aaron goes back to the Packers.
I am too. Yeah, I'm looking at it. You know, so on overthecap.com, you know, the Packers are sandwiched between the Saints at $74 million over and the Cowboys at $21 million over.
Mm.
That is for, you know, their cap space. Cowboys have they have effective cap space and all that stuff too, so I don't know what that jargon means. But it's going to be a situation where they have to make some decisions and some cuts. And does Aaron Rodgers want to go through that? Let's see. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' cap number, holy cow, is $46
million. Ooh.
And then Za'Darius Smith's is $27 million. Like, that's two guys, because you got Bakhtiari at 22. That's $85 million.
Yes.
On three guys.
Absolutely. 877-881-1053. Hit us up here on Sean and RJ. The other Cowboy lessons to learn from the weekend. How far away are we really from contending like that? The Cowboy NFL Divisional Round lessons next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Feed the ball to Fournette, tries to run. He's got a first down. 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Buccaneers. Buccaneers, a point away from a tie. Fire the cannons. Fire them.
Fire them.
Fire the cannons.
Fire them. And then Matt Stafford fired one off the Cooper Cup twice in order to beat Tampa Bay, maybe end Tom Brady's career. Cowboy playoff lessons to take. On Sean and RJ, 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Jerry Jones was not happy on Friday with KMC, how Amari Cooper's targets were inconsistent, especially in the second half of the season. And we wanted to keep track of the stars, how many targets they were getting this weekend, because the Cowboys allow their players to be taken away. Cooper Kupp had 11 targets. 9 for 183. Odell got targeted 8 times. Mike Evans was targeted 16 times. He had 8 for 119.
Now, in defense of that, he is literally their only guy now.
That's right. Except for Gronk.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown got 9 targets. Ja'Marr Chase only got 6, but he had 5 for 109. Burrow also got sacked 9 times. Davante Adams got targeted 11 times, 9 for 90. Kittle, 4 for 63.
See Diggs' numbers?
Stephon?
Yeah.
He had nothing, right?
3 for 7.
But the other guy had 4 touchdowns. Gabriel Davis.
He had 8 for 201.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley had 6 for 60.
Tyreek got targeted 13 times, 11 for 150. Kelsey got targeted 9 times, 8 for 96. This is to hammer home the point that the Cowboys fail to keep their guys involved. And they always got an excuse. They just always, oh, it's the way the defense is playing us. Oh, it's the offensive line. And this, all these teams have issues. And they get everyone involved. What about penalties? Y'all notice a ton of penalties? I love this one Tolo saying, is it weird that every time a big play happens in one of these games, I'm expecting a flag on the field because you're used to it? You know how many penalties one of the greatest games of all time had last night? You know how many total penalties that game had, KC Buffalo?
Four?
Four. Kansas City committed one. With Mahomes running around to that degree.
Yeah, you would think there'd be an ineligible man downfield or a hold or whatever. Yeah.
Now, look, officiating crews are different.
They're all different, absolutely.
Tampa Bay, L.A., each team committed four. Not 14, Dallas. Four. In the San Francisco-Green Bay game, each team committed five. Five and five. Mm. Not 10, but five. And then Cincinnati, Tennessee, total penalties in that game, eight.
Okay, so eight total, five total, four total, and what was the other one? Three?
I'm double checking the Tennessee. Yeah, Tennessee only had two penalties. Cincinnati had six.
Okay, so eight penalties, five penalties, four penalties. Like, the Cowboys almost had that on their own.
I know. Think about that. So that there's a lesson to be learned. Oh, they're out to get us. Oh, they don't want the Dallas. Yeah, they'd rather have Cincinnati in the Super Bowl than the Dallas Cowboys.
Nah, they would not. I'm going to go out on a limb.
They'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl than the Cowboys. The league has a vendetta. Mm. There you go. They're out to get them.
Double check your work.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. Obviously, people are talking about the quarterback differences and how last night was a cold dose of reality.
Yeah, look, guys, it's okay. It's okay to not have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback or Josh Allen. It's okay. We don't have that. It's okay to recognize that Dak Prescott is who I believe, and I believe Dak is a great player. It's okay, though, to admit that he's not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. But 30 other teams don't have that guy. The problem is that Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the AFC title game every year. And Josh Allen's going to be in the division round at very least, basically every year, unless some hook or crook happens. You know, we'll wind up making the playoffs. We'll wind up making the postseason every year. But, you know, how far we go is going to be dependent on, you know,
getting hot.
You got to get hot. You got to get a little luck. Like, you know.
Really good defense.
Are the Cowboys better than the Bengals? Yeah, this year they were better than the Bengals. But the Bengals got a good draw. Well, they got a Raider team that was an up-and-comer. And then they got the worst one seed in NFL history. And we got a bad matchup. It happens.
Jerry was asked by KMC if Dak is capable of winning a Super Bowl.
Yes, I do. I sure do.
One thing
that I start with, I learned a long time ago, Ben Franklin had a rule when he was down and low down and had setbacks. And he took all of his assets, all the positives on the left side of the page and listed them, and all the negatives on the right. And if the left side was longer than the right, then he walked out with a spark in his step and a smile. His other side was longer than he drank all day, let's say. Mm-hmm. My point is that without trying to be any way, I start right there with a big circle and a big plus, future Dak Prescott.
Can you hear Jerry drawing the circle and writing the plus on his paper with his pencil?
Mm-hmm.
He is emphatically, maybe he was legit ticked. He was emphatically scribbling, taking notes, plus signs, circles, all this while he's sitting there talking.
Yep.
But this is the reason that they waited so long to pay Dak, because they wanted to see if he could play on a Josh Allen type level, to where it's like it's no doubt we have to pay him $40 million. The Cowboys paid. I don't care what they say; their actions proved it, and I agree with it. The Cowboys paid Dak Prescott out of necessity, not because of Dak's greatness. That's my opinion.
I buy that. I mean, they needed to keep the quarterback.
They needed to keep the quarterback, and I agree with it.
And I
always argued with people about how good Dak was when we've been debating this over the past two or three years. I I'm just going to go off my own head. When I watched, not last night, when I watched Josh Allen, I was like, that's special. That's elite. You see a lot of signs with Herbert. You know, sometimes you don't have to guess. With Dak, I was always just back and forth guessing. I was like, all right, is this? I don't know. I was always in between. And Jerry and Steven, one of them or both, I believe, were in between, and they wanted to see him elevate in order to be less hesitant in giving that money. Unfortunately, he got hurt, so they couldn't evaluate him in that final year before paying up.
Like,
and I, for the record, I agree. You could not lose him. It just ended up costing you more, as I believe they were still evaluating.
Yeah, look, first of all, if you're still evaluating Dak Prescott after 5 years, you got your own problems that you're dealing with.
Well, is that a problem? What is he? Like, I think
he's
now,
he's tier two.
Okay, but I think we were trying to evaluate if he could be at, if he could get in tier one.
No.
That evaluation.
Oh, no, no.
Like, we're still trying to see if he can be a, we disagree on the word great, but like a top five quarterback.
Well, look.
You know what I mean?
He could.
That evaluation.
Here's how we all know
he's good.
Yeah, here's how I have it. I've got Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, Allen.
Okay.
Draw line.
Okay.
Now,
where are you at with Russ?
He's on that line below.
Okay.
Now, when Rodgers and Brady are gone, the tier one is Mahomes and Allen. Draw a line. Dak's not getting to that tier because he's not as good as those guys. And that's fine. You don't have to get to that tier. Those two guys don't even play in this conference. Worry about them when you get to SoFi.
Right.
Worry about them later. The moment Rodgers and Brady retire, it's like, dude, NFC is wide open. Mm. But Dak is in the discussion with Russ, Lamar, Herbert. Herbert might be in that discussion to be able to get into tier one. We don't know yet. Deshaun. Yeah, but we forget about Deshaun. I think Dak is in that grouping. You put their car in there, whatever. But I think he's in that tier two. He's a top 10 player. Is he five? Probably not. Will he be when Rodgers and Brady retire? Yeah, I think so.
Other Tolos coming in with Cowboy lessons to learn from the weekend besides, you know, people winning with backup linemen. Like the Rams replaced Whitworth, their left tackle, and he did a hell of a job against Jason Pierre-Paul. Our team crumbles when that happens to Tyron. The Bengals still won 9 quarterback sacks. Other Tolos. How about teams with owners who sit the F down and shut the blank up and let their coaches let their coaches and true GMs do their thing without any interference? They're still playing. Bobby Belt tweeted, reliable kickers making game-changing kicks. LOL. There's a lesson, right? The first 3 games all ended with road kickers winning walk-offs.
Yeah, it did. But how about the Rams guy? Who shorted a 47-yarder.
Shorted 47. And Butker was shaky.
Yeah, and Butker's a good kicker. There, you know, and he was shaky, though. Like, you know, a lot of these guys are. I mean, if you're not...
How about utilizing a weapon like Debo? Pollard rode the bench. Another lesson, you can't tackle linemen. Yeah. Don't commit 14 penalties. And these are some of the lessons that came in as Micah Parsons tweeted, LOL, I'm just happy as hell to have Dak as my quarterback and no one in the world can tell me otherwise. And then Tad, Dak's brother, tweeted, I understand Aaron has a ring. A ring it took him 7 years to win. Dak just finished his 6th season. Aaron just finished his 17th. Stop comparing the full body of work of a guy who was drafted when the other was still in middle school.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex from the 646. Dak cannot be in the same group or less than a quarterback who didn't play this year or a quarterback who didn't make the playoffs.
Who is that in?
I guess it would be Deshaun.
Okay.
And then Russell Wilson or Herbert.
That he has to be higher than them?
I think that's what he's saying.
Okay.
I don't know that that's the case. I mean,
yeah, you
Dak missed the playoffs. What? He's missed the playoffs before. I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, he drops.
Right.
This isn't a, you don't, I mean,
Mike Trout. It's the Mike Trout rule.
I do think that in sports that we do ebb and flow our ratings on people on a week-to-week basis or year-to-year. Like Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's a bad example.
Pass behind Tillman, picked up by Josh Green, racing with Porzingis. It's Porzingis and lays it in as he went underneath Durant to score, and he got a foul as well.
I was wondering last night if Mike Bacsik was the only one in the station besides Kevin Gray watching the Mavs beat Memphis versus two quarterbacks I know you love to see. How much of the Mavs game did you watch?
A quarter probably worth as I was flipping. I could not, with, I don't know, 5 minutes to go, I couldn't flip off of that football game. That was one of the greatest football games I've ever watched.
Yep.
When you're watching the two best quarterbacks in the game go after it like that, I don't know how you flip to, and I get it, man. Jaw's having a great year. Luka's finally playing great. And that was great that the Mavs won. But I couldn't flip from that. I mean, my wife was like, that game sounded great. And I said, look, I never make you watch highlights or anything, but this morning before you go, you know, treat all the sick kids.
hey, sick kid.
Would you like to watch these highlights? I was like, watch these highlights because this was freaking amazing. Like, this is impossible. This was, I know, Plano East versus Tyler John Tyler.
Yeah.
So anyways,
can you think of other quarterback duels like that? We had Romo Peyton in the regular season.
This is the Monday Night Football game.
Golf, Mahomes.
Yeah,
Rams, I will Chiefs. Say,
that's what came to my mind immediately.
I need to go back and watch in 2017 when we let coin flips determine who goes to the Super Bowl, just like this one.
Yeah.
I need to see what Brady and Mahomes did late in that game, because wasn't that game like 43-37 final score or something? So
it was 37-31.
Okay. Like, that probably Brady Mahomes, if we go back and what probably transpired in that game, because that was the game where we're like, okay, so Mahomes didn't go to the Super Bowl. Brady once again does, but my God, like this Patrick Mahomes kid, like this looks for real.
Yeah. What's coming up on the show?
Can I actually ask you a question first? Because you're talking about quarterback play. Why, Sean, why do you retweet Tad Prescott?
Well, he's a notable person because of his relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder.
Do you agree with the things you retweet of him?
No.
Okay.
I wonder if sometimes he says what Dak thinks, or does Dak agree?
Okay.
Right? So if I know that, like if Jackson Mahomes, or if we know that Dak and Tad are tight.
Sure.
I believe we know that.
That makes sense.
So it makes me think that Dak doesn't totally disagree with some of the things that he's saying. He also has had, you know, he's been close around some of these guys. I'm glad you brought that up. In the last 15 minutes, Tad is now going at Dez. All right? So Dez was, you know, football coaching on Twitter over the weekend and basically saying, you know, Dak should call Romo to figure out how to better utilize his receivers. And then when people took it that way, Dez is like, no, you're football dumb. I can't talk with casuals. Romo should be the head coach, and Kellen should be the OC. So Tad wrote,
great.
How many games did you and Romo win together? I saw your message where you asked I not let fans fool me, but then you addressed me directly after I hadn't said S. I'm not here for beef, but you're a clown, bro. Dez Bryant is the same guy who would smile and hug me while talking S about Romo, Witten, and those he called Romo's boys. Whoa. Now you turn on Dak and myself to think I truly used to respect this man.
Wow.
That's why I follow Tad Prescott.
Okay, because you just, like, that's what I was curious about, like, the retweets. So sometimes people, like, a retweet's not an endorsement, but I know a lot of times it's, like, something else that somebody else is thinking is the one about, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers didn't get his ring until his seventh year. Dak just completed his sixth year. And you're just like, what? You don't think those are the same, do you?
And I know that we're talking more about Tad Prescott here, but I just think this. Cole Beasley had his greatest year ever when Dak took over. Dalton Schultz has been really good. Like, Dalton Schultz is about to probably get $10 million a year or more based off what he's done.
He's going
to
get the Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith type deal.
So I'm wondering this, as we build this Dallas Cowboys team, because I'm assuming we're going to build around Dak for the next 8 years approximately, is maybe slot receiver and tight end are way more important because of where Dak throws the ball and comfortable throwing the ball and accurate throwing the ball than outside wide receivers. Not saying outside wide receivers aren't important to Dak. What I'm saying is he seems to slot receivers and tight ends, middle of the field, conservative type of throws is where he thrives. So if that's the case, CeeDee Lamb should play in the slot a whole bunch. And Amari Cooper and Michael Gallups, maybe we shouldn't pay $20 million or a whole bunch of money to outside receivers. I'm not saying just get rookie guys who can't play. What I'm saying is let's look at Dak 6 years. Cole Beasley's, Dalton Schultz, guys in the middle of the field. Like maybe that's where we should concentrate on having our money for Dak Prescott because he's not comfortable throwing to the outside as the other quarterbacks are.
I love that you just threw an S on random S on like four guys' last names No, I'm a big fan because I'm a Kroger's guy.
Okay.
I don't shop at Kroger. I shop at Kroger's.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what you do? You go Kroger's?
I go to Kroger's.
Yeah.
I go to Kroger. I probably go to Albertson's.
But does
Albertson's have an S on it?
Did you tease your show?
No, okay. I didn't.
Can you tease it?
Yeah, so obviously we'll talk about the craziness of the weekend. We'll update you on betting, Sean Payton, overtime rules. And then just real quick, and we don't have to dive into it right now, at 10 o'clock to kick off the show. Going to be a little different. I just disappeared in the middle of Thursday's show. Just left halfway through. I'll kind of catch everybody up on what exactly happened.
By the way, speaking of disappear, do y'all want to hear from the other side?
The other side, just the house. I'm just in my house.
Hi, Corey.
I think I'm hoping this is it, man. I'm hoping I'm done. I'm hoping we can get some positive.
Oh, I want you to win. Show.
I'm going
to
bet, Corey, with our policy, knowing how COVID spreads, you'll eventually get COVID and you won't be back till early to mid-February.
I don't know.
This
is weird, too, because like we've been around these kids all week, and my wife and I still tested negative. The oldest one still is positive, though, and so is Lucy. So we're still waiting on that.
I'm dying to get y'all's reaction to the Jerry Jones interview you had on Friday. What were your biggest takeaways? Let's go around the room with the three of you.
He wants to fire the staff. He wants to fire 28 coaches. Actually, my biggest takeaway was that he was looking at those coaches going, and what does he do? And what does he do? And what's his job? And what's that guy's job? Why do we have so many? And Mike, did Broadus tell us that Jerry won with 12 coaches in his last Super Bowl? So it was like, it's something ridiculous. He's like 28 coaches. This is stupid. If y'all can't win me a effing playoff game.
I think you had a great poll question because he stayed frustrated to mad the whole interview. He somewhat answered the questions. But I would say he didn't really address those issues during the season. He never brought those up losses. So was he?
He excused them. This
should be brought up. The penalty should be brought up after the Tampa game, not after we lose in the playoffs. But he never addressed those things in the 17 regular season games. So
not with us.
No. And plus, I also think you address things differently post. I don't want to say post-mortem, but like, you know, you take a different view of things as the season is over than you do the day of the game or the day after the game, right? I mean, like, you look at things a little bit differently. The day after the game, you're looking at the next game already. You're looking to try to fix some things, but you're not taking the same vantage point that you are, the same kind of look back, I think, that you would at the end of the season.
Okay, I also, to Mike's point, I liked the poll question that you put up. Sean, where do you fall on that? Do you think it's like actual anger or got to start the hype job now?
I think that his anger is that his job as the general manager this year got flushed. That the talent I put together, a 12-5 team, got wasted. Mm-hmm. And I do think he wants to make the Tolos believe that he's really upset like they are. You know, I used to fall for it year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I took everything at face value. But as Mike said, you know, we interviewed him all year long. All he did was make excuses and suggest that the issues we brought up were overblown. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you want to unload and unleash. Well, I think 50% of it was for the listener. And then the other 50% was they screwed up the awesome job I did as GM collecting this talent.
And he told us during interviews, McCarthy has game management issues, but don't other teams, so let's not worry about that because other teams aren't perfect at it either.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm inclined. Because I was talking to Corey, and he goes, oh, Jerry was mad today. And I was like, oh, mad at you guys or mad in general? And then we just kind of had a conversation, and I think I'm inclined to lean that way as well, unless like something dramatic happened. If they're like, you know what, we will give you that third round pick for Sean Payton or whatever, then I'd be like, oh, holy smokes. Well, yeah, maybe this is legit, but I'm inclined to think that y'all are probably right about that. Hey, I think one more thing.
Kevin, hold on real quick, man. I think the most important part about that was at the end when he told Mike and I that if the Cowboys players were as good as we are at interviews, they'd win Super Bowls all the time. So that's pretty clear that he loves interviewing with us the most on the station. I think that's one thing we should take away from that.
Yeah, we got that interview stolen from us like the Bills in overtime.
Wow. So basically you had your chance and couldn't do it. Yeah.
See, I don't care. I don't care about the Bills so much, like getting robbed or anything. I care about the fans getting robbed. We get robbed out of continuing to watch something awesome that we could have continued to enjoy. That's who got robbed was the fans.
I just can't imagine if they did that in baseball in the playoffs. They said, okay, 9 innings are over. Coin flip time. All right, we win the coin flip. We hit first, and if we score, we don't have to pitch.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah, that's fair.
That would be awesome.
That sounds like a fair plan.
Did Jerry on Friday change y'all's mind at all about McCarthy?
A little bit.
I don't want to hear anyone else, by the way, say they've clarified it. Steven said, they said he was coming back because that was on purpose what he did Friday in reopening that, I thought. What do y'all think?
Are you telling me they made a tactical media-based decision?
Jerry did.
The hell you say?
Steven tried to end it with y'all, and McCarthy dodged it, and then Jerry said.
From what we hear, they didn't work very hard to go get Mike McCarthy. It wasn't like this.
This is the first guy they interviewed.
Hey, talk to one other person.
The first guy was the Rooney Rule.
Yeah. Let's just fraudulently interview Marvin Lewis.
So,
oh, my God.
Do you really think the Jones family wants to work really hard right now to possibly see other people that could be better? Because if you are going, hey, maybe Mike McCarthy isn't the answer, wouldn't that mean you'd have to put in a lot of time and energy to like talk to maybe Brian Flores? Obviously, they know Sean Payton, but like talk to all of these other people to get an idea. Could they be better? They don't want to do that. Spring break is coming up, man.
Wow. They're not going outside the bubble. They're not going to do that.
Is Sean Payton in the bubble, though?
Yeah, I do. I think
they don't have to interview him. Like they didn't. They interviewed Mike, but that, you know, they had already got Jay Glazer's recommendation. That's all they needed.
Good point.
You know, he gave him a stamp.
That's right.
It was valid.
I don't know how much Steven wants to have someone come in here, though, and Sean Payton is going to have personnel say. And
Kevin James.
Can't forget about Kevin James, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.